in the Lord. Amen. I thought you were rather more interested than just a casual amen. And all you folks out there in the radio land, feel welcome. Even though you're not actually here, the Lord knows you're there. So we're here to praise our Lord no matter what. There may be other people coming, and but in the meantime, we'll just start singing. Let's sing number 479, In the Name of Jesus. Shall we stand as we sing? In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, the victory. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Victory on a Sunday morning or in church, it's a victory in our lives, down the road, the persons we meet, the phone calls we make, the stranger that comes to the door. Two of them yesterday, actually, they were Jehovah's Witnesses. And I said, well, no, I won't take your little booklets. But I said, I've got a pile of them in my house, which I could give you if you like. Oh, no, it's all right. But they were nice boys. So I said, Lord bless you. They do what they want to do or seem to do. Let's sing 556. If the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwell in you. got to know it is. Know that the Lord's dealing with us, not just in church, but at home in our heart. Okay, let's sing number 164. I looked over Jordan, and what did I see? I looked over Jordan, and what did I see? Coming for to carry me home. A band of angels are coming after me, coming to carry me home. Oh, carry us, coming for to carry. Coming, and it looks like it's going to be very short before he's here. All we've got to do is be ready. Let's sing 166, sing the wondrous love of Jesus. Sing his mercy and his grace.
Thank you.
For the moment, before we have some more hymns, we'll just ask our Lord to be here. We know that He will, but the thing is, we want Him to be welcome. And how do we do that? Just let our hearts desire that we want to see Jesus. Just come from in, and He'll be here. He promised that He would. Lord Jesus, we do honor You and praise You. We know what You've done for us.
Yes.
We know what You're doing for us. And we know about the promises that You promised in Your word. Every one of them will be fulfilled. And we know, Lord, that Your coming is not far away. This world is just collapsing around about us. But we have a promise that we need not to worry, because You love us, Lord, and You will never leave us nor forsake us, and You will carry us, Lord, until the end. We know, Lord, that we have been justified, Lord, and that You're going to fill us with the Holy Spirit in Your time. We just need to desire it, Lord. We just ask for those that may still be coming, that they'll be blessed as they come. Bless the people on the internet and the CDs that listen in. It doesn't matter what hemisphere they're in. They may be in heavy snow and storms, and here we are on this lovely, beautiful day, and just blessed of the Lord that we have Him on both places. May the people that join in also be uplifted, and help them, Lord, to receive what we're going to receive. We ask these things in Your precious and holy name. Amen. Let's sing number 107, There's a Country Far Beyond the Starry Skies. If you want to remain seated, well, you're welcome to. If you want to stand, you're welcome. The thing is to sing it unto the Lord.
There's a country far beyond the starry sky. There's a city where there never comes a night. If we're faithful, shall go there by and by. It's a city where the Lamb is alive. In that city where the Lamb is alive. See where they come in the night. By the mansion over there, and we dream of dwelling here. I am going where. The sun which shines upon us now to rise.
item, well, we'll be happy to hear from you just while she's getting ready there. For the prayer requests, do we have any from the congregation that would like for us to pray? I have some here, but Jen. Nola Corbett. Okay, that's Nola Corbett. Do we have any others? Thomas Collier. Is that for healing or something, is it? Thomas Collier for healing. Did I see a hand over here? Helen. I didn't pick up her name. Pani. Okay. Is she at Wellington, is she, Helen? Okay. So many people that certainly need the Lord's healing hand. Were there any others? And I will have your song now. Thanks, Pauline.
Make me a channel of your peace.
you, Polly. We will have another item, Paul, coming up. That'll be the Hughes girls. But in the meantime, just let's pray for these prayer requests. And you folks out there on the radio, internet, CDs, just claim what you need to claim with the Lord. Just remember Sister Lynn of the United States. Please pray that God will let my husband go to a born-again church. Just remember the widows like Sister June Mounter, who had a loss of a husband a week or so ago, Brother Ken, who we know very well here, and also Sister Helen Younger in England. Her husband Colin passed on probably 2 weeks ago. And just remember Sister Paulette Mocklin of Levin, who had lost her husband Colin some month ago, I guess it was. Let's continue to lift up Israel before the Lord to keep them and anoint them in all their decisions making, and to encourage them, and regardless of their enemies, the Bible says, they that bless Israel will be blessed. We try to be identified with that all the time. We really miss out praying for them also at home. Now, we just thank our Lord for many answered prayers that we've had, and not forgetting the people that they're just asked there for the healing, that Nola Corbett, Thomas Collier, and Pani of Wellington, who need healing. All we need is compassion and consideration for other people. So let us just bow our heads and be part of what we're praying. Precious Lord Jesus, we knew that the blind came to you when you were walking on earth, and the lame, those with leprosy, and those that didn't know which way to turn, they came to you. We are no different, Lord. We may not have leprosy and a few other things, but we have complications health-wise these days. But Lord, you are still the healer. Regardless, you are the healer. And we just pray for all of these people that have been mentioned, and not forgetting the prayer requests, Lord, for unspoken needs that we all have. That thing that we're thinking about right now, you know about it, Lord. And we ask that you just undertake and have your way in our lives. We know that your coming is not very far away. It has to be very, very soon. But no man knows. And we just say thank you, Lord, for keeping us in mind. We love you, Lord, and bless all these people. We ask a special blessing upon Brother Thaddeus, Lord, when he brings the word to us this morning and also this afternoon. May we be uplifted, and thank you, Lord, for doing that. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, Hughes girls have an item, I believe. And the Tim man as well. Brian, this fan down here is making a noise with a curtain. Just while they're getting ready, we'll just mention about the notices. We've got luncheon for everybody after the service over in the hall. You're all welcome to come, as you are all welcome to be in the service. So if you're a visitor, feel welcome. This afternoon, 2 p.m. service here in the church auditorium. And just a reminder of a 7 p.m. Tuesday, our regular prayer meeting. And all are invited. I think that's all we had. Some of these things just came in the late last second. So.
Mm-hmm. Such is each winding path I tread. Gives me grace for every trial. Feeds me with the living bread. You lead me and keep me from falling. You carry me close to your heart. And surely your goodness and mercy will follow me. All the way my Savior leads me. All the fullness of His love. All the sureness of His promise. In the triumph of His blood. When my spirit clothed in mortal wings its flight to realms of day. This is sung through endless ages. Jesus leads me all the way. Jesus leads me all the way. You lead me and keep me from falling. You carry me close to your heart. Surely your goodness and mercy will follow me.
You lead me and keep
me from falling. You carry me close to your heart. And surely your goodness and mercy will follow. Savior leads me. All the way my Savior leads me.
It's good to have Taz and Heather here as well. It's good to have the music and your company. And the Lord appreciates it as well. Let's just sing another one, if we all stand to sing, In Shady Green Pastures, number 44. In shady green pastures, so rich and so That's the truth, that chorus. And you probably know people that have had to go through the waters. Those through the flood. Some through the fire. But all through the blood. And the hardest thing is for so many people, certainly in this city, that don't realize they need to acknowledge the Lord Jesus Christ. He will see them through. We just have a confidence and a trust in our Lord Jesus. We'll sing one more, then I'll ask Brother Thaddeus if you'd like to come forward. Let's sing Standing Somewhere in the Shadows. You'll find Jesus. Think about these words as they apply to your heart.
Standing somewhere in the shadow, you'll find Jesus. He's the one who always can understand. Standing somewhere.
The last time I saw him, he was about 18 in Louisville. But you were here, I gather. How long ago was that?
About 2 years ago.
2 years ago. Yeah, well, I wasn't. I was in Tauranga at the time. But it's good to see you again, and you're very welcome.
Thank you.
Feel welcome, because you know your dad pretty well.
Thank you.
Brother Brad Burgess. And Lord bless you.
Thank you.
Take your liberty.
Thank you. God bless you this morning. And just say it's a very nice privilege to be here. And I want to give thanks to Brother Howard for inviting me to come down. And I want to give you greetings from my father, Brother Brad Burgess, in Louisville, Kentucky, in America. And he sent me a message this morning and wanted me to greet everyone here and send his love and regards from our church and family back there in the Louisville, Kentucky, Jeffersonville, Indiana area. I wasn't able to have my wife and little boy with me this morning, but as you know, I married a girl from New Zealand, so now I'll be, Lord willing, if he tarries, I have a purpose to come back here. She's from up in Tauranga area. She was born in Auckland. You may know her from the Thompson family, my wife Britta. And she's there with her family this morning, but I'm just thankful that the Lord gave me a wonderful wife, and I have also now a little boy. His name is Elias, and he just turned 13 months, so he can't say too many words, but when I show him this, he can say Bible. And when I show him the picture of Jesus, he says something like Daddy. So, you know, we just try to teach him a few things, and it's a blessing. Amen. So just send you those greetings this morning. And you know, my dad, I guess, has been here many times. And so every time I come here, I sit in the, well, this time and last time, I sit back there in that little room, and I think of the people that have been here before me. And we can think all the way back, but ultimately the greatest one to think of is the Lord Jesus. And all that He's done for us. And all that we are is just to be humble servants of Him and just to extend His grace and His mercy to one another. And I'm thankful for what the Lord has done in my life. And thankful the other day I was driving to a little office where I've been working the last year or so. And I was just driving in the truck and I was thinking, Lord, I'm just thankful that You allowed me to be raised in a family where I could hear the truth, where I could know the truth. Because Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And I thank God that I can stand before you this morning and say that Christ has made me free. Free from sin. Sin meant death, but the life of Christ, it gives us everything we have need of. It gives us healing, it gives us joy, peace, and ultimately gives us eternal life with Him. And I'm so thankful for that this morning. So Brother Howard asked me just to maybe sing a song. And back home we also help just to lead the songs in the church. And so sometimes I just find singing chorus after chorus, you know, like that. But maybe we'll just sing... Oh, the blood of Jesus, the precious blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus, it washes white as snow. Oh, the blood of Jesus, singing, oh. say thank you, Jesus. Lord, we love you this morning. Lord, we worship you, Lord. Your name is wonderful. Lord, as the prophet wrote, Lord, under inspiration, that your name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. Lord, of your kingdom there should be no end, Lord God. Oh, we thank you for it this morning. We praise you, Lord, for you're worthy to be praised. As the psalmist wrote, Lord, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his wonderful works to the children of men. Lord, we praise you this morning. We thank you for that wonderful name of Jesus. Lord, no other name I know, Lord, that could bring salvation, that could bring victory, that could bring freedom and liberation, oh God. We thank you for the wonderful works of Jesus. Oh, how we love you this morning. We praise you, Lord. Lord, you said where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. May you bring liberty and freedom and deliverance this morning from every evil power, Lord. For your power is greater than every power of man, greater than every power in heaven and earth, Lord. Far above all principalities and powers is the name of Jesus. Oh, under that name, every knee shall bow, every tongue confess to the glory of God the Father. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. We love you this morning. We praise you. We commit our time and worship to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, you just love to talk about him. Praise the Lord. If the life of God is inside of you, you just want to talk about him. You want to worship him. You want to be in his presence. Amen. It's just wonderful to be gathered together in the house of the Lord. And in the presence of the Lord, there's fullness of joy. At his right hand, there's pleasure forevermore. Amen. God bless you this morning. I'd just like to read a few scriptures that the Lord has been placing in my heart. And I trust that it will be a blessing and encouragement for you this morning. I want to read in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. You know, I like to read the Bible and read the Word of God. It was by one word that God created the heavens and the earth. He said, "Let there be light," and there was light. This morning we have a whole book full of the words of God. Can you imagine if he just spoke, "Let there be light," and it created the light on the earth? How could this whole book full of the words of God, what can it do for our life this morning? Amen. Just the power of the word of God. Jesus said, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word shall never pass away." David wrote in the Psalms, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And verse 3 through 5, just read that this morning. "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." And also just read in 1 John 4, verse 4, which maybe you can even quote it. 1 John 4, 4. "Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he." Focus on those three words. Greater is he. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Amen. You can be seated. I'd just like to speak this morning. These words that we read here in 2 Corinthians 10. Mighty through God. Mighty through God. greater is He. You know, the Bible says that greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. But it's Him that is in us. How great He is. It's not how great we are, but it's how great He is. And when He is in us, then He can work His greatness through us. Then we have power over the power the Bible calls the enemy, the prince of the power of the air. And we know that Satan was cast down. We read in Revelation 12 and in Isaiah 14 how that Lucifer was there in heaven as an angel next to God. And he rose up in jealousy and God cast him down with a third of the angels. And he was cast down to the earth. And in Revelation 12 we read that he's like going through the earth. And he knows, but he has a short time. The Bible says that he's like a roaring lion and he's seeking whom he may devour. And the thief come but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus came that we might have life. Greater is He. I want to focus on that this morning, that He is great. We are mighty through God. He's the great one this morning. Hallelujah. There was never one greater than Him. Amen. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9, we read that for ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. The great riches of God, all the riches and the wonderful knowledge of God. His ways are past finding out. Paul wrote in Romans 11 that how His ways are past finding out. I think of you would read in the book of Isaiah in chapter 40. And I refer to a lot of scripture this morning. But he says here in Isaiah 40 verse 12. Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, and meted out heaven with the span, and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales, and the hills in a balance? Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being his counselor, hath taught him? With whom took he counsel, and who instructed him and taught him in the path of knowledge? You know, we have to go to school. We have to be educated. We have to learn from someone else. Even as a little baby, we have to be taught how to speak. But who had taught God? Who taught God? Where did He get His wisdom? Where did it come from? But He always was and He always will be. He is all. He is the essence of all wisdom. He is the essence of all greatness. Before the world was, He was. The Bible said no man has seen God at any time because God is a spirit. Before there ever was created even a little substance of molecule, God existed. The all-sufficient God. He was sufficient in and of Himself. But yet He had elements of Himself that He wanted to express. The only way He could express them was to create something that He could redeem, that He could save, that He could put a desire in to reach and search for Him. The Bible says, who has been His counselor? In verse 15, Isaiah 40, behold, the nations are as a drop in the bucket and are counted as the small dust of the balance. Behold, He taketh up the isles, the islands, as a very little thing. There's a little islands here. It's a very little thing to God. The nations, the Bible says, are but a drop in the bucket. And Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor the beasts thereof sufficient for burnt offerings. All nations before Him are as nothing, and are as counted to Him less than nothing and vanity. To whom then will you liken God? Or what likeness will you compare unto Him? But though He were rich, though He had all this greatness, the Bible says He became poor. He made Himself poor. He took off His riches and He laid them down. And He came, the Bible says, as a little child He came. And He allowed Himself to be born in flesh, little Jesus in a manger, but it was the fullness of God in that little baby. Think of it. God made Himself the one who could create languages and disperse people and tongues and nations as He did at the Tower of Babel. He created all knowledge, all wisdom come from God. And He made Himself so low to where He couldn't even speak. Just a little baby in a manger, He couldn't even communicate. All He could do was cry. He made Himself so low. Think of that. He allowed Himself to be handled by His own creation. What responsibility Mary must have thought when she was holding that little baby. But God allowed Himself to become His own creation. He took off the robes of riches and the glory of heaven that He might become poor, that we through His poverty might be made rich. What a great thing. What a glorious thing that God has done. You know, when I think of the greatness of God and I think of the sovereignty of God. Here, a few months ago, back home, there was a man that I used to actually work with several years ago and kind of reconnected and made contact. And at the time that I'd worked with him, he had recognized something in my life that just always stuck with him about my relationship with the Lord. And so God had been dealing with him and he reached out to me. And so I had lunch with him and he was raised Catholic. And so I just sat down at lunch and I took my Bible and I felt led of the Lord to just have lunch with him and share with him the gospel of Jesus Christ, because it's such a great thing. So I took him in the scripture and I began to just show him how that we are all born in sin. You know, the Bible says that David wrote it in the Psalm. He said that in sin did my mother conceive me. That's in Psalm 51. He said, in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. And in Romans 3 and verse 23, we read about the wages of sin being death. And in Romans 6:23, we read how that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So if the wages or the payment for sin is death, and we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God, and even in the belly we were conceived in sin, then we're all doomed to die. So we were born with a curse of death. The Bible says there's none good, no, not one. We're all born under a curse of sin because of what happened under the original creation of Adam and Eve and the fall in the garden. We're all born under sin with a curse to die. Whether we're a preacher, whether we're a mother, whether we're a father, whoever, deacon, piano, it doesn't matter what we do, but we're all born under the curse of sin. Even the mightiest prophets were born under the curse of sin. They all had to have a covering. They had to have something that could take away the curse of sin. And in the Old Testament, God allowed the blood of an animal to cover sin. But when Jesus Christ came, He was a perfect sacrifice that took away sin. So I began to show this young man about how we're born under a curse of sin. But yet in all of that, with all these sinners, so to speak, all over the world, but God came looking for those that were lost. Now, how could you be lost unless God would have you in the first place? If you have something this morning, like you say you have, maybe I have my Bible and I lay it down somewhere and I forget it. I don't remember where it is. But then I go looking for it and then I find it. And then I could say, oh, I found it because I once had it. And that's how we are. We were in God's mind. God had us in His thinking. And though we were born in sin under a curse of death, but God comes looking for you. Like He came looking for Adam in the garden, and He calls you by name. He says, Adam, Adam, where are you? He knew where he was. He was in a sinful place, but God came not to rebuke him. God came to give him a lamb covering, to redeem him back. Amen. And I think of the sovereignty of God, and just reading about that in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 2, how that God knows them that are His. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, the Bible says, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, The Lord knoweth them that are His. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. So begin to show this young boy this scripture. The Lord knoweth them that are His. And we take him back to the book of Jeremiah chapter 1, where God told Jeremiah, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. So you can take the scripture in Psalm 51 where he said that you're shaped in iniquity and conceived in your mother's womb in sin. But in that same place in the belly of the mother where you're in sin, he told Jeremiah, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. I knew you before you ever had a word to say. Then you were in sin, but I knew you. He said, I knew you, and my foundation is sure because I know them that are mine. What a wonderful thing. Praise the Lord. You know, I was thinking of something I had written here in the front of my Bible by a man named John Newton who wrote the song Amazing Grace. He said, if God had not chosen me before I was born, I'm sure He would not have seen anything in me after I was born. You know, you think about that, and the Bible says it's not of works, lest any man could boast. But our salvation was settled before the world was ever made. Forever, O Lord, Thy word is settled in heaven. That God knew them that were His. That there is nothing that we could ever do of ourselves to achieve, to earn, to work our way into having eternal life. Absolutely nothing. And there's nothing that we can do to achieve or to learn or to attain to God. But it's only the grace of God. That though He was rich, He became poor. That the Bible says, we know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. The foundation of the Lord standeth sure. Amen. You know, in the book of Isaiah 46, the Bible says that He knows the end from the beginning. We're living our life day to day. And day to day we think of the things that, oh, this is going to happen or that's going to happen. We think of what the future is. But the Bible says God already knows the end from the beginning. What a wonderful thing. It didn't say the beginning to the end. Yes, He knows that, but He also knows the end from the beginning. The Bible said in Revelation 1 that He is the Alpha, the first letter of the alphabet, and He is the Omega, the last letter. He is everything. From the beginning and the end, He's all. Amen. All in all, the Bible says. Praise the Lord. You know, in Isaiah 49, I really like this scripture. One time, Brother Albert Ruig came to our church in Louisville, and he was praying that the Lord would give him a scripture for the church. And so the Lord showed him this scripture. I believe it was even in a dream. And I've never forgotten it since the time he came. I just share it along with this morning. But in Isaiah 49, verse 15, can a woman forget her suckling child that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet I will not forget thee. I will not forget you. Sometimes we feel like, Lord, where are you? And we don't see, because we can't understand in our little finite mind. But if we could just realize and just believe that God's ways are so much greater than our ways. You know, if you take like a game of chess and they always say you have to think two or three moves ahead. But God is already completed. He's already thought farther than we could ever think. And He's worked it all out. He gives us the ability to choose. But, you know, He has ability to choose too. And His choosing is already finished. And it was be finished before we could ever choose. I think of a scripture in Psalms chapter 89 that says, blessed is the man whom thou choosest. I believe it's in 80. If I just find it, I want to read it. Yes, 665. Psalm 65, verse 4. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee. That he may dwell in thy courts, we shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even in thy holy temple. Blessed is the man who God chooses. God chooses. And not only that, he causes us to approach unto him. We say, oh, I had this desire to go to church, or I had the desire to get baptized, or I had the desire to want to know more about God. But really, God put that in you. The Bible says, blessed is the man whom thou choosest. He chooses us. And he causes us to approach unto him. Amen. The Bible says that we couldn't even come in John chapter 6. We couldn't even come except the Father draw us. That God is the one that draws us to himself. What a wonderful thing. You know, I think of when Jesus was walking through Jerusalem, and there was a man named Zacchaeus. And I love the story of Zacchaeus, because the Bible says he was short in stature. You know, to me it can almost be parabolic, but we are very small, minute, little. Who knows? You know, sometimes we think, oh, I'm just so small, nobody knows about me, you know, where I live, what I am, what I do. But God knew Zacchaeus. And he's climbed up in the tree, and as Jesus walked by, he stopped underneath the tree. And there was a great crowd of people, but Jesus looked up and he called him by name. He knew his name, and God knows our name this morning. He knows where we live. The Bible says he knows the number of hair on your head. What a wonderful thing. God knows everything about us. And you know what he said to Zacchaeus in Luke chapter 19? He said, when he called him, he said, this day salvation has come to this house. For so much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. In other words, Zacchaeus, you are mine. Before you ever knew, before you even had a desire, you are mine. And I come to find you. To seek and save that which was lost. Oh, praise the Lord. Though we were lost, he came looking for me. The song says, he came looking for me. Oh my, what a wonderful thing. And he came, the Bible says, he was manifested to take away our sin. We're born with the curse of sin, but he was manifested to take it away. Amen. I'll read that in 1 John chapter 3. He was manifested to take away our sin. It's good to know the scriptures. The Bible said, thy word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Paul told Timothy to stay in those scriptures which he had learned even from a child. But here it says in 1 John 3, and ye know, verse 5, that he was manifested to take away our sin, and in him is no sin. This world is wicked, but in God there is no sin. This world is evil, but in God there is no evil. In Jesus Christ there was no evil thought. It was all pure, holy, love, compassion was in him. In this world you find cruel and evil and hearts full of hatred, but in God there's no evil. You can drive down the road and just make one little wrong turn, that person in the car will just get angry and upset. But in God, there's no evil thought. The world is full of darkness. But in Christ, we have light. And he said here that he was manifested to take away our sin. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. And whatsoever, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. For his seed remaineth in him, that God puts something in you. The prophet said that God put something in you when you were born. It was part of God that he placed inside of you. And he come to take back that part of him that he put inside of you. Like a magnet that is magnetized to another magnet. God is a great magnet, and he put a little magnet inside of you that would, when his presence, when his word is preached, it just moves over your heart. It comes in your ears. It goes down into your heart, and you feel a drawing power of God. And you say, God, why do I feel this way? Because God put something in you. Amen. What we have to do is just yield to it. Just give way to it and say, Lord, I just give you my life. I give you everything. I surrender all that I am to you. And the more that we surrender, the more He begins to pull and begins to lead us because He's got a purpose for our life. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but you know what? The other day we were driving up to Cathedral Cove and we stopped coming back to a little cafe on the way back, and there was a shop there, and I believe it was well, they were selling paintings. Forget what you call that, art gallery. And there was a writing outside the shop on the building there, and it was a quote by a man named Oscar Wilde. And it said, the only way to get rid of temptation is to yield to it. You know, and I took a picture of it and I thought, there's a sermon in that. Because the devil wants us to yield to temptation. You know, there's actually truth in that. The only way to get rid of temptation is to yield to it, because the Bible says the wages of sin is death. When you're dead, there's no temptation. So in some sense, the devil has truth, and he always takes the truth and tries to just twist it a little bit. But God had come to give us power over temptation. Amen. And He put something in us that would resist it. Praise the Lord. In this, the children of God are manifest in the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. Praise the Lord that God come to destroy the works of the devil. Amen. You know, when the Bible says, greater is He that is in us. In Romans 8, verse 32 to 37, we read how that we are more than conquerors through Christ. Amen. We're more than conquerors through Him that loved us. How can we be more than conquerors? Because He's the mighty conqueror. In Revelations 1, the Bible says that When John came before Him, he fell on his face before Him because this man was so great. God is so great. John fell on his face before Him. And Jesus spoke to him and said, fear not, I am the first and the last. I am He that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. Hallelujah. And have the keys of hell and of death. The curse of sin was death, but God, Jesus Christ, holds the keys of death in His hand. The Bible says that He ascended up on high and took captivity captive. He rose from the grave. He took the keys of death, hell, and the grave. Amen. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 12. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. You think in the Old Testament, they were instructed to take the animal, and every year they'd come to the high priest and they'd offer sacrifice for their sins. And every year they had to do the same thing over and over again. But the Bible says that this man, who knew no sin, he offered one sacrifice for sins forever. And he sat down. He said, it is finished. It is finished. Everything that has to do with us and our salvation, our healing, our joy, our peace, our strength in trials, deliverance, everything we have need of was finished. And that sacrifice of Jesus Christ, when He hung on the cross, the Bible says He was bruised for our iniquities, our peace. He was chastised for our peace. And through the stripes that were put on His back, we're healed. And He said that He is the one that was dead, but He's alive forevermore. In John 14, He said, because I live, ye shall live also. Praise the Lord. He sat down. It was finished. It says here, for by one offering He perfected forever them that are sanctified. Wherefore the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. The Holy Spirit, His life. When He hung on the cross, the Bible says He gave up the ghost. The life that was in Christ, it left and departed that body hanging on the cross. And he said, I'll send to you a comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. He sent back his own life upon the believers in the book of Acts. And he sent his own spirit back upon us in this day that we can have that same Holy Ghost, the same life that was in Christ. He says, and by this, he said, whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. It's a witness of the sacrifice that Jesus made, that our sins were forever finished and settled in that sacrifice. For after that, he said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my law in their hearts, and in their minds I will write them, and their sins and iniquities I will remember no more. No more. Praise the Lord. What a wonderful thing. In Colossians chapter 2, the Bible says that he hath quickened together with him, forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way. Verse 14, Colossians 2. He took it out of the way. There was a handwriting of ordinances, all of our sins, all of our iniquities. It was there. It existed. It was real. It was something that was standing there that was against us. That was a sentence of death upon us. But the Bible says that he took that and he took it out of the way. And what did he do with it? The Bible says that he nailed it to his cross.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
So it speaks of this handwriting of ordinances, and he took it out of the way and he nailed it to the cross. But what was nailed to the cross was Jesus Christ. So therefore, Christ became the handwriting of ordinance that was against us. Christ became our sin. And he nailed him to the cross. And in that, nailing him to the cross was nailing our sins to the cross and taking it out of the way. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. He triumphed over them. Where we would fall in temptation, where we would make mistakes, where we would get up and fall down, but Christ conquered every temptation. He conquered every sin, every mistake that you could make to such a place you cannot earn, you cannot achieve. There's nothing you can do but look to His sacrifice and say, Lord, thank you for dying on the cross. And when you confess your sins, the Bible says He's faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Your sin and iniquity He would remember no more. He would take away the curse of death. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. What a wonderful thing that we can look to Jesus Christ and realize that through faith in Him, we have remission. We have removal of our sins. And the Bible says there that He said that if you confess your sin and He said, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Eternal life. What a wonderful thing. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. And He triumphed. He was a great conqueror. He triumphed over death. Even today, there's never a man, there's never been a man since Christ, or there never will be a man that could triumph over death. He said, I lay down my life and I take it up again. Never a man could lay down his life and take it up again, but Jesus Christ. Whatever we could do, you know, we can take medicine, we can eat good foods, we can try to achieve health in this life, but ultimately, we all have appointment with death, but Christ conquered death. The Bible says that death is the last enemy, and Christ has conquered even death. He's conquered all enemies. Praise the Lord. He is the mighty conqueror. In Ephesians chapter 1, in verse 17, the Bible says that all things are under His feet. Praise the Lord. He said here that, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in heavenly places. He set him far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but that which is to come. And he hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church. Praise the Lord. God's put all things under the feet of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. In Hebrews chapter 10, I trust it's all right just to refer to these scriptures. I think it's a good thing. In Hebrews chapter 10, the Bible says here in verse, yes, we read that in verse 12, that and to verse 17 here, but he said that he would make, in verse 13 he says, you're expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. He sat down on the right hand throne of God, expecting, he is expecting that all enemies be made his footstool. Praise the Lord. All things brought under his feet. In Matthew 16, when Jesus looked at Peter and he said, Peter, who do you say that I am? He said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church of the living God. The gates of hell cannot prevail against the church of the living God. He's mightier than all enemies. He's greater than all power above heaven and earth is the name of Jesus. He's greater than every demon power, every temptation, everything we would face in this life. God is greater. The Bible says that in the book of James that even the devils believe and tremble. Even Satan trembles. In Mark chapter 5, when Jesus went across the Sea of Galilee to the land of Gadarene, and he saw the man there possessed of the devils, the man came and ran, and the devils began to speak out, and the devil was tormented. They said, the devil spoke out of the man and said, why do you torment us? Satan is tormented by the power of God. So here we are, we're standing in the middle, and here's God, and here's the enemy. And the devil's trying to afflict us, but the devil can only do what God allows the devil to do. The devil can only do what God allows him to do. In the book of Job, we read how that there was a conversation going on between God and Satan. And the Bible says that Satan came to God and he had been going back and forth throughout the earth. And he was walking up and down, and the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? There's none like him in all the earth. He's perfect. And he's an upright man. He fears God and escheweth evil. Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for naught? Thou hast made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side. God put a hedge around Job, and Satan could not touch him. He said, Satan, have you considered Job? He's perfect in all his ways. And what Satan replied, Satan's reply was, God, you put a hedge around him. I can't touch him because you put a hedge around him. The Bible says that the angels of the Lord encamp around about those that fear him. That God has put a hedge around us, and the devil can only do what God allows Satan to do in our life. That there's no temptation taking us but what's common to man, but with the temptation, God provides a way of escape. The devil can only do what God allows him to do in our life. God put a hedge around Job. He can only do what God allows him to do. Now, just for the next few minutes, just to finish out the sermon this morning, I'd like to look at an example in the Old Testament. In the book of Judges, chapter 6. Just regarding our thought being mighty through God. Here we read the story of Gideon. And I really like Gideon, because Gideon was, to me, he's like you and me. He was just, you know, we read about it here, but he dealt with fear. And he was always troubled over the things that were going on. And so we just read here that, you know, in that time, the Midianites would come down to the land of Israel. Every year they'd plant their crops, and the Midianites would come down and steal the crops. The Bible says that they encamped against them and destroyed the increase of the earth. And Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites. So much so that the children of Israel began to cry out to the Lord. Every year they'd come down and they'd steal away their crops. They'd spend all this time working and struggling to get the food, and then the enemy comes and steals it. And that's how sometimes it seemed like in our life. You know, we feel like we make a few steps forward and then something happens and we fall back. And it seems like you're just a constant struggling, that the enemy's always there trying to torment us and trying to get at us. So the Israelites began to cry out to the Lord, and God sent him a prophet, and the prophet said that I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites. What was the word of the Lord? It said, fear not the gods of the Amorites. Don't fear the enemy. He can only do what God allows him to do. And so here the Bible says that this man Gideon was threshing wheat down by the wine press, and he was hiding it from the Midianites. You know, when you think a wine press, you got two vats up in the front, one over here and one over here. And then the men would stomp the grapes up in these two vats. And then the grape juice would flow down into this bigger vat down here. And this wine press is like our life, because we feel like we're under that pressure. It's just constantly, it's like the devil's pushing on us here and pushing on us there. And if it's not, you know, if it's not in your own home, it's somewhere else. It's on your job or wherever. There's just constant pressure in the day that we live. The Bible says it's like, it'd be like gross darkness upon the face of the earth. And that's the day we live in, such a dark, evil time, the darkest time that ever has been. And so here's Gideon, and he's down by the wine press. He's going through hard trials. And the Bible says that he's threshing the wheat and he's hiding it from the enemy. And the Lord appeared unto him. This is just, I just love this. The angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee. What a wonderful message from God. You're in your darkest trial. And you feel like that it's just going to always... The Bible talks about how that men would come in the last day and say, where's the promise of His coming? Don't you know that all things continue as they always were? And the devil has a message for you. He says it's just going to keep going on like it is. But the Bible says that God appeared to Gideon and said, Gideon, the Lord is with thee. The Lord is with thee. I will never leave thee and never forsake thee, he said in Hebrews 13. Here a while back, I was going through a hard trial. And I remember I was laying in the living room. I just was flat on my face and I was crying out to God. And I was just saying, Lord, help me. Sometimes we just have to come to God and we just say, Lord, help me. He is our helper, the Bible says. He's the shade of our right hand. He's our shepherd. His rod and staff, they comfort us. Praise the Lord. I said, Lord, help me. The Lord spoke to me in such a powerful way. And He said, did I ever leave Moses at the Red Sea? He said, I never left Moses at the Red Sea. I didn't leave the Hebrew children in the fire. And I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. What a wonderful thing. There's Moses standing in the face of the great mighty Red Sea. Israel, the Pharaoh's army behind him. The pressure, like the pressure in the wine press, pressing up against him. Pressing him. What was it doing? It was pressing him in such a way. But God had an answer. His answer was a miracle. God's answer to the pressure from the devil is a miracle. Because the coming of Christ was a miracle. Calvary was a miracle. The resurrection was a miracle. Our salvation is a miracle. Everything to do with God is a miracle. And it's nothing we can do to attain or achieve or to understand what the miracle of God is. But just believe that God works miracles. And all things are possible through God. He didn't leave the Hebrews. There they were. They said, throw us in the fire. We're not going to worship the devil. And there God came down in the midst of the trial. And He'll never leave you. The Bible says that if you will just seek Him with your whole heart, you'll find Him. That's the problem. But He puts the pressure on us to get us to such a place. He knows exactly how much pressure we need in our life to just get to that point where we release the pressure to Him. He just wants us to release it to Him and let Him be mighty. We are mighty through Him. It's not by our own power. Praise the Lord. May that be impressed upon us this morning. It's not by our power. Not by power, not by might, but by His Spirit, saith the Lord God Almighty. Solomon could build a temple. Oh, and how wise he was, and he could instruct the builders to build it in just a way, a perfect way, and oh, it was a beautiful thing. But it was nothing without God. The Bible says Solomon stood and he prayed. And when he prayed, God came down. The fire of God came down from heaven and consumed the sacrifice. All of the greatness of Solomon's temple was nothing without the power of God. Zerubbabel said it won't be by power, it won't be by might, but it'll be by the Spirit of the Lord. It's through His Spirit that we have power. Amen. Praise the Lord. So here is Gideon, and God comes to him and said, Gideon, I'm with you, thou mighty man of valor. What's Gideon doing? The manifestation of his works. He's there. He's hiding the wheat from the enemy. He's at the wine press. He's in the middle of his trial. He's got these doubts and fears in his mind. But God says, Gideon, I'm with you. We see ourselves. We should not look at ourselves, but just say, Lord, what are you telling me this morning? You're saying, I'm with you. I will never leave you and never forsake you. Confess your sins. I'm faithful and just to cleanse you from your sin and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. That you're mighty through God. And the weapons of our warfare are mighty through God. To the pulling down of strongholds, we can bring every thought to the obedience of God's word. Every thought to the obedience of Christ. Praise the Lord. He said, you're mighty. You're a mighty man of valor. What is it? The valor, it means that he's a mighty man of strength and ability. God has given us strength and ability. Philippians 4:13, that we can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth us. Here the other day, I was having a conversation about the financial things and so forth, and I'd had to have a call with the man that I had been working with, and there was a few things that I really needed and wanted, and I prayed and thanked the Lord. He gave me exactly what I needed in the conversation I had with the man that I worked for, and he's just basically an atheist. And, you know, I was talking about it with my wife and her mother, and, you know, I said, and I mentioned the man's name, I said, this man does not supply my needs. God supplies my needs. You say, oh, I've got a good job. Your job does not supply your needs. God supplies your needs. To the Christian, Jesus Christ is the answer for everything. For every problem. For every situation. Every need. The song says, Christ is the answer. Calvary is the answer. Hallelujah. You see, it's right there. It's all there. My God shall supply your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Say you have a need this morning. You need healing. You need financial help. Whatever your need is, God knows every one of them. And He's provided the application, the supply. He has the wealth of the world in His hand. The Bible said He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He's got it all. Everything we have need of. All we have to do is just trust Him and say, Lord, You are the answer to my need. If we could just take that this morning and say, God, I'm looking in the wrong place. I'm thinking that my job is going to supply the need. Or I'm thinking that this one, but Lord, You're the one who supplies my need. He supplies every need. Praise the Lord. And Gideon, you're a mighty man. God's speaking to us this morning that we are mighty through Him. Praise the Lord. And so Gideon, you know, I just like him so much because I can just relate with him. We can relate with Gideon. You know, he struggled with fear. He struggled with doubt. He struggled with worry and all these sort of things. But God looked at all that and He said, He's mighty. I'm with Him. I won't leave you. I won't forsake you. And so Gideon, you know, being the human that he was, he asked the angel for a sign. So the angel said, all right, go get a little sacrifice, a kid and some cakes and put it on the rock. And the angel took his staff and he put it in the middle of it, and his staff lit the whole thing on fire and just consumed it. What an amazing thing. And then God spoke to Gideon. And you know, Gideon prepared an altar for the Lord. And he called the place Jehovah Shalom. The Lord is our peace. So here's all this trouble of the Midianites and the fear that Gideon's facing. But God comes and reveals himself as Jehovah Shalom. May that be what God speaks to your trial this evening, this morning. He's Jehovah Shalom. He is your peace. Perfect peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. He will give them perfect peace whose mind is stayed on him. That's the key, to be fixed on him. He'll give us perfect peace. He revealed himself as Jehovah Shalom. He told Gideon, he said, Gideon, he said, in your father's house, there is an altar to Baal. He said, I want you to go and tear down that altar. So Gideon, being the fearful man that he was, he said, all right, okay, so I'm going to go tear down this altar. So he said, all right, well, I'm going to do it at night. I don't want anybody to see me. And he said, I'm going to take 10 men with me, right? So he does. He gets the 10 men and he goes at night and he goes and he tears down the altar of Baal. But the key was he tore down the altar. You know, sometimes it doesn't matter how you do it, you just got to do it. Just have to do it. It doesn't matter how you get to church, you just got to get there, right? Because you know when you get there, you're going to hear the Word of God, and God's going to encourage you, God's going to uplift you, God's going to help you, and God's going to strengthen you through His Word. The Bible says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Praise the Lord. Oh, it's a wonderful thing to be in the presence of God. So he got the, tore down the altar, and the next morning, the men of the city came and they said, who has torn down this altar of Baal? And they said, bring him out because we're going to kill him. And Gideon's like, oh no, now they're going to kill me, right? So then Gideon's dad comes out and something happened that hadn't happened before. You know what his father said? He said, he told the men of the city, he said, are you going to plead for Baal? Right? He'd been to church. He knew what it was. He knew who God was. Yeah, he'd got messed up and built an altar to Baal. But then when Baal's altar was torn down, he told the men, he said, are you going to plead for Baal? You know what he did? He changed Gideon's name. And he made his name, he called him Jerubbaal. You know what it means? It means Baal is going to plead. In other words, when Gideon comes around, the devil's going to plead. And plead for mercy. Say, leave me alone. Here Gideon's hiding and he's in fearful and afraid. But God says, you're a mighty man. And when you come around, Gideon, the devil is going to plead. Praise the Lord. So then Gideon puts fleeces before the Lord. He said, Lord, you know, I'll put this lambskin out here. You know, there's a lot of sheep around this country. But he said, I'll put this lambskin and God, just make it all dry around the lambskin and make the lambskin wet. So God does that. The next day he said, Lord, this time, just I want to just know that you're with me. God had already said he was with him, right? But Lord, I want to know again. So that's how we are. You know, how many times we say, Lord, just show me again. I just want to feel your presence again, Lord. I want to know you're with me. God is faithful. He's merciful. He's so merciful to our humanity. How can he be that way? Because he was human once, right? The Bible says he could succor. He could help those that are tempted because he was tempted. So he says, Lord, this time make the lambskin dry and all around the ground wet. So God did it, right? So in all of these things, God was strengthening and helping Gideon. So it come down to the time for Gideon to preach his first sermon, right? So he gets up before 32,000 men that she had gathered, and he preaches his first sermon. You know, a lot of times we as preachers, we preach about things that we struggle with ourselves. Because God deals with us in that, right? So his first sermon, can anybody guess what it was about? Fear. It was fear. He said, this morning, all of you that are fearful and afraid, go on home. You know, he lost a big portion of his congregation. The Bible says that 22,000 walked away. Wow. There he's dealing with fear and over half, a third, two-thirds of his congregation walks away. And that's how it seems like in our life. Sometimes the people that we think are the strongest just walk away. But we can't be shaken. The Bible says don't be soon shaken in your faith. But just keep your eyes on the Lord.
So there, the two-thirds walk away. And then God told him, he said, all right, now take them down to the water test. So he said, first sermon's on fear. The second sermon's on humility. Take them down to the water. Because we can't do anything without God. So here he brings them down to the water and he says, all those that lap like a dog that aren't afraid to just get in there and take their portion. He said, you take those. So he was left with 300 men. And so now all these thousands have walked away and he's got 300 men. And now the Lord comes to him and he says, Gideon, he says, by these 300, he says, I'm going to deliver the Midianites. You know, and he tells him, because it was at night and the Midianites were all camped around. The Bible says they were like grasshoppers all around. That's like us. You know, the enemy surrounds us everywhere we go. And he tells Gideon, he says here, and I just want you, if you can, just turn to this, because I want to show you this morning. When I saw this, it just really blessed me. And it's in Judges chapter 7 and verse 9. And it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, arise, get thee down unto the host, for I have delivered it into thine hand. And verse 10, it says in Judges 7 now, verse 10, but if thou fear to go down. So God knows that Gideon dealt with fear. And even though he had been through all, seen all these miracles and all these signs and all these things, God still knew the humanity of Gideon. And God still knows that when you wake up tomorrow, you're going to be faced with the same temptation. You know, Jesus prayed in John 17. He said, Lord, don't take them out of the world, but keep them from the evil. God's not going to avenge. Yeah, he's coming and he's going to deliver us from this world. But while we're here, we're going to be constantly surrounded by evil. And constantly struggling with the temptations of this life. But God was so merciful to Gideon. He said, but if thou fear, go thou with fear of thy servant down to the host. So it's at night. And he said, Gideon, if you're fearful, he said, just go down to the Midianites. And verse 11, and thou shalt hear what they say. And thou shalt hear what they say. I want you to catch that this morning. Because Satan can only do what God allows him to do. The Bible says he believes and trembles. And God told Gideon, he said, you're going to hear what the enemy has to say. Are you catching? He said, thou shalt hear what they say. And afterward shall thine hands be strengthened to go down unto the host. After you hear what the enemy has to say, you're going to be strengthened. What a wonderful thing. Then he went down with fear of his servant into the outside of the army, unto the outside of the armed men that were in the host. So he just went down to the edge, right? Just went down to, the Bible said that he's going to hear what the enemy has to say. So he just goes down to the outside of where they're camped. And the Midianites and the Amalekites and all the children of the east lay along the valley like grasshoppers for multitude. The Bible says their camels were without number as the sand of the sea by the seaside for multitude. There must have been thousands, hundreds of thousands of them. So God said, you're going to hear what they say. Well, Gideon must be thinking, Lord, are they all going to talk to me? Am I going to have to go tent to tent? He just said, just go down there and hear what they have to say. So, all right. And so we knew he was fearful because God said, if you're afraid, go down, right? So he was still dealing with fear, right? So, and when Gideon was come, behold, there was a man. So he gets up close to this tent and he hears a man inside the tent. And the Bible says there was a man there that told, he must have been asleep, right? It was night. So he woke up and he had a dream. And he woke up the man laying next to him. He said, hey, I had a dream. He said, I dreamed a dream and lo, a cake of barley tumbled into the host of Midian. And came and tumbled into the host of Midian and came unto a tent and smote it that it fell and overturned it. And the tent lay long. And his colleague, the fellow, answered and said, This is nothing else save the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, the man of Israel. For into his hand hath God delivered Midian and all the host. So here God says, you're going to hear what they say. He goes down and he hears this man telling a dream. And his fellow enemy, colleague, says, look, your dream, it's nothing else but the sword of Gideon. And into his hand hath God delivered the Midian and all the host. He was saying, God has delivered us to Gideon. Here we are, we're camped, and we're going to fight, and we're going to destroy. But here, he's saying, God has delivered us into the hand of Gideon. And there's Gideon outside the tent, and he's hearing this. He's hearing what the enemy is saying about what God is going to do through him. That's exactly how it is for us. The devil believes and trembles. He can only do what God allows him to do. The Bible says that he has come down because he knows he has but a short time. What he can try to afflict, he can try to torment, he can try to do all these things to your life, but he is bound by the power of God. And our weapons of our warfare are mighty through the God, through the pulling down of strongholds. And greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Though the devil may try to afflict us, but the enemy knows that he is defeated because God defeated him at Calvary. God destroyed the work, come to destroy the works of the devil. And he knows he's defeated. And we have power through God this morning. We're mighty through him. Oh, I trust it just be an encouragement for you this morning that Satan can only do what God allows him to do. That he is limited by the power of God. And we are mighty through God. If we can just keep our eyes fixed on Christ. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. Praise the Lord. There's nothing more that he can do. He's already finished the work. He sat down. The Bible says he sat down. And he's under expectation. Because every enemy will come under his feet. Every enemy. Every tormenting devil, every demon power, every sickness, every power of death, every lustful spirit will be bound under the feet of Jesus Christ because he conquered all. He's the mighty conqueror. He's the mighty conqueror. Oh, praise the Lord. Everything was defeated by Jesus Christ and through him. There's nothing we can do. But only believe and look to him this morning and say, Lord Jesus, it's through you. Through you that I can overcome the temptation. I can overcome and through you, you're going to provide. You're going to heal. You're going to help. You're going to strengthen. You're going to uplift. Oh, the devil wants to trap us in a trial. But God is using the trial to bring us to a greater place. The devil says all things will continue as they were. But the Bible says in this they're willingly ignorant. Because God is going to come and return. God is going to fulfill every scripture. There's not one thing that God won't fulfill, that God won't do. He knew you before the foundation of the world. He chose you in him. Just give way to it. Just yield yourself to him. The devil says, yield to the temptation. But God says, yield to me this morning. Can we bow our heads together? Lord, we thank you that you finished every work. Salvation's work was finished. On Calvary, Lord. Lord, you paid the price there for our salvation, for our sickness, our sorrow, for our pain, and for our death, Lord. You died that we didn't have to die, Lord. You gave your life that we could have life, Lord. You gave your riches that we could have riches, Lord. This morning, Lord, we give you our fear for your peace. We give you our doubt for your faith. We give you our sin for everlasting joy and peace in the Holy Ghost. Lord, we thank you for what you've done for us, Lord. Maybe this morning you've been struggling as we all struggle. But in all of that, you've heard what was said this morning, and God has made His Word more positive to you. That you would look to the sacrifice of Jesus Christ and say, Lord, everything I have need of is in you this morning. And if you're that one this morning and you've been struggling, but you see Christ as everything that you need, you just stand to your feet as a proclamation before the enemy this morning that God is everything for you. And you'd stand this morning and say, Lord, I stand to my feet. Like you said you would put all enemies under your feet. I'll stand this morning as a representation that every enemy is under my feet this morning. Because you are greater and you are in me this morning. And greater is He that is in me than he that's in the world. Is there someone else you'd stand this morning and you'd say, Lord, I just want to know that, Lord, I just want to stand as a representation that every demon power is defeated through you this morning. And I want to thank you that greater is He, that you are greater than every power of the enemy today, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. There's power in the blood. Great power in the blood. Let's sing it. There is power, power. Wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Oh, it's in Jesus. It's all. Do you know that it's in Jesus? It's all in Jesus. Amen. It's in Jesus, all in Jesus. It's in Jesus, He's the one. Rock of salvation, a firm foundation. It's in Jesus, He's the one. Oh, hallelujah. Trials we're facing, but if we can just look to Him and say, Lord, it's all in you. It's all in Him. There's such a peace in that this morning. Let's bow our heads once again. Lord, as we stand here in your presence, oh Father, Lord, we can feel the breeze come through the room. And you told Nicodemus, you said the Spirit is like the wind, just going to and fro. Your presence is right here this morning. Lord, you know the trials and temptations. So much, Lord, that you was a partaker of it. Lord, when you stood there on the stormy sea, when the boat was moving and rocking, you stood on the boat and you said, peace, be still. Lord, as we stand here this morning, by the power of the Holy Ghost, we say, peace be unto you this morning. For I am with thee. I will never leave thee and never forsake thee. Oh, saints of God, hear the voice of the Lord this morning. For I am with thee. Yea, I say unto thee, I am with thee. Oh, hallelujah. Lord, you said you'd never leave us and never forsake us. Lord, in a world where there's so much noise, so much conversations about this and that, and this morning we just stand here in the stillness of your presence, meditating on these words. You are with us. We are mighty through you. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Lord, whatever situation that we may be faced with at this moment, saints, if there's something that's on the forefront of your heart, just turn it over to Calvary. The Bible says he took it. He took it. Let him take it from you this morning. And visualize him as he nails it to the cross. And he says it's forever settled. It's finished. You don't have to carry it any longer. It's forever settled. Say, Lord, whatever my need is this morning, just take it. Take it from me, Lord. I place it in your hands. Lord, I place it on the cross. There, it's forever settled. Oh, we can just do that. Just release it to him this morning. Just say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lift your hands to him. Say, Lord, thank you. Thank you for your peace. Lord, I've been thinking and dwelling way too much on the trouble, on the trial. But this morning, I look to you. I look to you, Lord. You're mighty through him. Yes. Through him, you're mighty. You have everything that you have need of through him. Just look to him and say, Lord, through you, I have everything. I don't have to worry. I don't have to fret. I don't have to fear. It's settled. You say, Lord, I commit my life to you. I commit my husband. I commit my wife. I commit my family. I commit the trial. I commit the situation. I commit it to you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. We just sing a little chorus. Hallelujah. 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 Forget about everything else for just a few moments. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. 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 I love you, Jesus. so wonderful. In His presence, anything can happen. But the greatest thing that can happen at this very moment is you just commit your whole life to Jesus Christ. You just say, Lord, I commit my whole life to You. I give You my life, Lord. I believe, Lord, that You died for me. I believe that You were buried for me. And I believe that You rose from the grave for me, Lord. And this morning, I just commit my life to You, Lord. I want Your will to be done in my life, Lord. If you've never been baptized in His name, you say, Lord, I'll be baptized in Your name. If you never had a confirmation of His Holy Ghost in your life, say, Lord, just fill me this morning. Lord, I open up my life to You. I say, Lord, I want You to fill me. I want You just to take control of my life. I want all of my decisions to be what You want, Lord. Will You willingly give Your life to Him? And this morning you say, Lord, I will commit my life to You. I will give my life. Lord, You gave Your life for me. And today I'll give my life for You. Is there one here this morning? You've never given your life wholly to Jesus Christ. But today you feel a drawing in your heart. Something unexplainable. A pulling inside. You say, Lord, I believe that You died for me. And that You come to give me life. And you say, Lord, I want to give my life back to You. And you'd just be one. You'd lift your hand. Is there one this morning? You say, Lord, I just want to lift my hand because I want You to know today that I want to give my life to You, Lord. Is there someone here? You've never given your life to Him. And you say, Lord, I give my life to You. Just everyone, bow your head this morning. Close your eyes. Not for man to see, but just between you and God. In this presence, you say, Lord, I give my life to You. Is there one? Thank You, Lord. For You know the hearts. You search every heart. We thank You for those that have committed their lives to You today, Lord. For Thou alone knowest. But, oh God, You knew it before the foundation of the world, not just this morning. You knew way before the world was created those that would come to You. And we thank You for it, Lord. And we commit each one here this morning into Your hands in the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. God bless you. I get so overwhelmed in the presence of the Lord. Isn't it just a wonderful thing? We don't know how much longer we'll be in this world, but when we come together and we feel the presence of the Lord, we just don't want to leave. We just want to stay in His presence. And when He comes and returns and takes us to be with Him, we'll be in His presence for all eternity. It'll be a wonderful thing. May God bless you this morning. May God encourage your heart. I trust He has. I love you. In the name of the Lord.
I think we would like to sing. I would anyway. 183, it's in G. Got any rivers you think are uncrossable? Got any mountains you can't tunnel through? God specializes in things thought impossible. He can do just what no other can do. Knowing it's the truth, sing it unto our Lord.
God any
going to close in prayer and give thanks for the meal that we're about to have. All are invited, and we'd like to see you there. And then there's a service at 2 o'clock in this auditorium this afternoon, and our brother will preach again. And after this, we'll sing Got Any Rivers You Think Are Crossable. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the word that was so truthful today. How do we know that? Because we get the confirmation in our heart. The Spirit of God just stirs within our body and our heart, and we know it's the truth because it's backed up by the Word of God and in the Bible, and our brother that's preaching what he knows to be the truth, and we here ourselves know that is the case. We just thank you, Lord, for the meal we're about to have, and may the fellowship just be really uplifting and bring those that can come to the 2 o'clock service this afternoon. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing and then we'll close. God, any river you think are crossable. God, any mountain you can't tunnel through. Reverend in the church. May the Lord bless you.